This is the Fix-It Show on WTMJ. Advice and opinions expressed during the program are solely that of the hosts or guests and not WTMJ Radio or Good Karma Brands Milwaukee, LLC. When it comes to home repairs, we could all use a guy. Well, we've got the guy, and we've got the show. For all your home improvement questions, we've got answers. This is the Fix-It Show on WTMJ. Presented by J&B Construction and Siding Unlimited. Now, here's your host, Dayton Kane and David Nason.
Welcome to hour number two, and thank you for joining us on a beautiful Saturday. Going to be 56 and partly cloudy. Not bad for November.
See that
night.
Sunrise?
Yeah.
Red sky in the morning.
Gorgeous. What does that mean?
Sailor take warning.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's supposed to be some storms rolling in tonight.
Yes. So red sky at night, sailor's delight. That's nice weather. Red sky in the morning, sailor take warning. So that means there's weather coming.
That red sky wouldn't be from all the fires happening on the West Coast, would it?
Not in a sunrise in the East.
No, speaking of those fires,
right,
though, we do have to see that transition I was trying to make
smooth,
there?
Yes.
Yeah, that was smooth. National Fire Sprinkler Association, Kenny Aslin in with us this morning. Good morning, sir.
Well, good morning. Thanks for having me on the air.
Yeah, thank you for being here. It's what? What is the month?
November.
I know, but what does it? You're because in November.
National Fire Safety Month?
Fire Prevention Week is actually in October, so that's going to be the week over October 9th, and that's to commemorate the Great Chicago Fire that actually started on October 8th and burned through the night, left 100,000 people homeless. Actually, the Great Peshtigo Fire.
Is bigger.
Yeah. Well, there was fires all over the Midwest throughout that week. And so the Great Peshtigo Fire actually burned up into Door County. Mm-hmm. There's estimates because they don't even know how many people actually died. It could be somewhere between 1,500 and 3,000.
Wow.
There were fires in Michigan and Ohio. So they don't even really know how it all started. But the story of the Great Chicago Fire with Mrs. O'Leary and the cow. So Mrs.
It's
O'Leary.
Good song.
Yeah. So the cow kicked over the lantern. Yeah. Some of the most recent stuff, it could have been the O'Leary boys smoking behind the barn
right.
That may have started that
they
fire.
They wouldn't have done that.
Yeah. So, so that we, during Fire Prevention Week, so actually we try to hijack the whole month and make October Fire Prevention Month. And then, of course, just because it's November doesn't mean we can't talk fire safety.
Right. Well, right. We're seeing it happen on the West Coast because it's been dry, right?
Exactly, yeah.
And here it's been dry. We're fortunate we don't see a lot of fires around this area normally like that.
Not forest
that
fires.
That are taking over the...
But we're also coming into the holiday season where fires are a little more prevalent.
And that's what we're going to be talking about today, I'm assuming.
Yeah, and not just the holiday season, but the heating season as well, because fires do pick up during the heating season, and we always want to make sure that we are having all of our heating equipment serviced, and we want to make sure that we're safe with portable heaters and everything like that. And then we can talk about the holidays. Want to start right up talking about Thanksgiving fires?
Absolutely.
Yeah, let's get into it because it's coming up.
Exactly. So Thanksgiving is the number one day for cooking fires. So on Thanksgiving Day alone, an estimated 1,160 home cooking fires were reported to U.S. fire departments in 2021, reflecting a 297% increase over the daily average.
Turkey fryers.
Turkey fryers.
That's what's causing it, right?
Yeah. Well,
and grills.
Yeah.
I mean, we always see the siding
melted
on the side of the house.
Houses.
That's people who are like, whoa, they got lucky.
Yeah.
Because it just melted their siding. It didn't start the house on fire.
Yeah. And we want to make sure that, like any outdoor heating, cooking equipment. So, and we can talk about turkey fryers, because it was, 2018 where the Racine Fire Department had a turkey fryer fire. So if you want to use a turkey fryer, make sure that it is outdoors, not inside of your detached garage, because that's frowned upon and that will burn down your garage as it did in Racine. So we want to talk about, like, let's say the National Fire Protection Association. So that's the NFPA. They're the ones that are pretty much the leader in fire safety. So NFPA discourages the use of outdoor gas fueled turkey fryers that immerse the turkey in hot oil. So according to NFPA website, NFPA continues to believe that turkey fryers that use cooking oil as currently designed are not suitable for safe use by even a well-informed and careful consumer. These turkey fryers use a substantial quantity of cooking oil at high temperatures, and units currently available for home use pose a significant danger that hot oil will be released at some point during the cooking process. In addition, the burners that heat the oil can ignite spilled oil. The use of turkey fryers by consumers can lead to devastating burns, other injuries, and the destruction of property. NFPA urges those who prefer fried turkey to seek out professional establishments such as grocery stores, specialty food retailers, and restaurants for the preparation of the dish or consider a new type of oilless turkey fryer.
Yeah. I just think of all the videos you see online now of turkey frying gone bad.
Oh, yeah.
It's just so many. It's not worth it.
Right.
It's not worth it.
I just pictured in order to even try to do it safe, you got to be dressed up like the gas man in a NASCAR pit crew. You literally got to have all that kind of, you know, the silver coat on and everything. But, yeah, you shouldn't do it.
Yeah, the Boise Fire Department did a really great job. So Fire Marshal Romeo Gervais, it's on YouTube for those of you that want to watch it. They did everything wrong. So they set it up on pallets that were not level. They overfilled the turkey. They put in a frozen turkey and showed how devastating these results can end up. So if you're on YouTube, make sure to check that video out so you know what not to do when you're cooking with a turkey fryer.
YouTube's not always for what to do. Sometimes
it's mostly for what not to do. Yeah. All right. Kenny's with us all this hour from the National Fire Sprinkler Association. If you have questions about what's going on when it comes to fire and possible damage around your home, now's the time to call 855-616-1620. It is a Fix-It show on WTMJ.
Get her done. It's the Fix-It show on WTMJ.
Nate in for Isaac today. Burning Down the House played in the background as we talk to Kenny Aslin from the National Fire Sprinkler Association. A little tongue-in-cheek music behind us as we come in. But this isn't funny, the stuff that we're talking about here. So tell us a little bit about what the NFSA does.
So the National Fire Sprinkler Association has a they're involved with a lot of training for fire sprinklers. They're heavily involved with all the sprinkler contractors and do a lot of training for people like myself. So I am a captain with the West Bend Fire Department in charge of fire prevention. So Marty King from the National Fire Sprinkler Association, he and I work together on a lot of like topics and stuff like that for training and prevention and just trying to promote fire sprinklers. Just because fire sprinklers, they do get a little expensive, but they are probably the best fire protection tool out there. So the NFSA does its best to try to promote fire sprinklers, the use of fire sprinklers, trying to make them available in the codes. Because like, let's say if you build certain buildings, depending on the size of the building, will determine if you need a fire sprinkler system in the building or not. Let's say home fire sprinklers. And the NFSA is a big promoter of home fire sprinklers, but in Wisconsin, there aren't very many single family homes or two family homes that are built with fire sprinklers in them. So trying to promote fire sprinklers and making sure you get a embracement of fire sprinklers by the general population.
Right. Yeah. They're working their way into the codes out east, but more so than here. But Marty usually comes to like the Home and Garden Show or the MBA show. They'll have a booth there, and he's got a virtual reality kind of goggles where you can see what like you're actually in a fire in a living room and in a house that doesn't have sprinklers, and how quickly everything just poof, you know, it's in flames. And then they show the same room if it had sprinklers and how quickly the sprinklers put the fire out. It's amazing.
Yeah, and that video is available on YouTube, and it's also available on the Home Fire Sprinkler Coalition website. So,
excellent.
Yeah, and that, I actually use that video a lot in training when I'm doing fire prevention presentations in the West Bend area. And the nice part about that is it does show how quickly a fire can get away. Actually, I do use it for my juvenile fire setter interventions because kids, when they're playing with fire, have no idea how quickly a fire can get away from you. So that there's two parts to that video. The first part is about 2 minutes long, showing how quickly a fire sprinkler can activate and put out a small fire. And then the next 4 minutes shows how quickly that fire can get away from you and completely burn up a room in a very short period of time.
And make their room basically, you know, unbreathable. You can't breathe in that room.
Exactly. Because Not only is there hot smoke and gases, but in those gases is carbon monoxide. Mm-hmm. So you have an oxygen deficient atmosphere, carbon dioxide and carbon monoxide. And we'll talk about that actually a little bit later when we talk about carbon monoxide awareness month. And so your best air is on the floor, closest to the floor, because the smoke and the bad gases are going to rise. And very quickly you can be overcome by smoke and that oxygen deficient atmosphere. And that's why, like, let's say when firefighters do rescues, we often find people right near the door because they can't breathe. They can't think because that carbon monoxide that gets in their bloodstream is not feeding oxygen to the brain. You can't, you lose your fine motor skills. So they know they need to get out, but they're trying to reach for the door, but they cannot operate the door handle and then quickly collapse behind that door. So when firefighters are making rescues, that's why we often find people behind the door, because they were trying to get out. They just couldn't get there.
855-616-1620, the WTMJ Talk and Text Line. Kenny is with us all this hour from the National Fire Sprinkler Association. Get your calls and texts in, questions that you have when it comes to fire safety. We'll be right back. It is a Fix-It Show on WTMJ.
Dayton and David, it's the Fix-It Show on WTMJ.
Veterans Day coming up on Monday. Thank you to all you veterans out there who served in the military. We appreciate the work that you did for us there. Fire blanket comment here from Jim in Lannan. Good morning, Jim. What you got for us?
Well, good morning. Happy Saturday.
Yes, happy Saturday.
I have a sump pump question, but I wanted to interject that a few months ago, I watched a video on Facebook about fire blankets, and I felt so compelled after watching the video that I bought my wife and I one, and one for each of our kids. Of course, I hope we never have to use them. And I just, are they as effective as they seem to be within the, you know, within the parameters they're used in?
So I get this question a lot, and I have not yet had a chance to actually test them. I actually do have one. I got one as a gift from my in-laws. And so we are going to be testing them. We're actually working with Fire Suppression Solutions in Slinger, and we will be testing those out. I would think they work. But my only reservations about the fire blanket would be, like, let's say if you're putting one of the small ones and you're trying to put out a grease fire, you have to reach over the pan to be able to put that on there. If you miss, then if you overshoot it, you could splash some grease your way. So we always recommend, like, the lid for the pan or a cookie sheet or baking soda or a fire extinguisher. Again, I can't say if they do work or not. And I don't know if they have a UL listing. So we want to make sure anything we buy has an Underwriters Laboratories listing or third party testing listing. So I can't make a recommendation for or against it, but we will be testing those out sometime this spring, with Fire Suppression Solutions. So look for that one. We'll probably have, TMJ4. Being able to cover that story once we do that, and we'll have an answer for you sometime, either early spring, to see if those actually, how well they work and if they actually do work.
Excellent.
Okay.
And what's your sump pump question, quick, Jim? Yeah.
Well, quick, we moved into a new built condo 3 years ago and have a sump pump that has never run. So about every 6 months, I go down there. We had a remediation system put in. But about every 6 months, I go down and pour a bunch of water in just to make sure it's working. I did that yesterday, and the pump pumps, but no water is ejected out of the outside.
Huh? You can see the termination of the pipe outside, and there's no.
Yeah, nothing coming out.
So this might sound like a really dumb question. Were you downstairs making the pump work when the water was pumping out, or did you have somebody outside watching?
Well, I actually sat down. No, I didn't have somebody outside. I usually have my wife looking, but I could see it swirling around in the crock, but the level wasn't going down. So I thought, well, that's odd. So I went outside, and there was no evidence of any water on the ground. I stuck my finger into the pipe. Totally dry.
Okay. Does the ejection pipe have a backflow valve on it?
You know, right? I mean,
so when the pump pumps and it pushes the water up through the pipe, usually there's a backflow valve, so the water can't come back down in there.
Yes.
So I'm wondering, did you put enough water in the crock to actually fill the pipe so that it actually gives out, or is that pipe above the backflow valve just full of water and it's not actually getting all the way out?
Yeah, I put in, I don't know, I probably put in 10 gallons.
Oh,
and
geez.
It swirls around. Well, I can see through the hole, the little hole in the top of the cap.
So it's swirling around, but the level, the level going down in the crock?
It's not going down at all.
Okay, then the pump's not working.
Yeah.
I always kind of make the joke when I'm doing an inspection, you know, you can test some pumps by plugging them in somehow, and if there's no water, and I kind of say, well, I can make noise too, but I'm not pumping any water, you know, and I can make the sound of a pump, but if it's not actually lowering the level, there's something wrong with the pump. Sounds like you need a new pump.
A new pump. Brand new, never been used.
Well,
I did notice.
Sometimes the issue is that they can dry out. All the seals will dry out.
Yeah.
And then the impeller's not working. It's cracked or something. So that's a good idea. You bring up a good point. That should be done more frequently. People who have some crocks that don't fill with water because you just have really good drainage around your house, you really should fill your crock.
You bring up a good point, too, because when I looked through the hole before I put the water in, it was totally dry.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm jealous of that situation because I have the opposite where mine's just running all the time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All right, Jim, thank you for calling and thanks for listening.
Thank you for your time.
Appreciate it.
Have a great weekend. 855-616-1620. What's the website people can go to, Kenny, that's a good resource when it comes to fire prevention and fire stuff?
So you can go to the National Fire Protection Association website, nfpa.org. That'll have all sorts of available resources to show anything for fire safety. So everything from holiday safety to cooking with grills to just general cooking safety, anything that can start a fire. So, like, let's take the top five causes of fire. So, like,
when we come back, we have to jump over the news. So, when we come back, that's what we'll be talking about. So, don't go anywhere. It is the Fix It Show. We go over to Sean and Brenda in the WTMJ Breaking News Center.
One's a certified home inspector. The other's just certifiable. It's the Fix It Show on WTMJ.
Love that one. I'm Dayton Kane, David Nason here as well. You can find the Fix It Show podcast on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast. We have Kenny here from the National Fire Sprinkler Association on with us, and we have a call at 855-616-1620. Let's go to Mary Ann in Waukesha. Good morning. What's your question?
Hi. My question is about power tool lithium batteries. And do you have any experience with fires caused by them?
Oh, yeah. So,
and how would a sprinkler system affect this type of fire? And can regular fire extinguishers be used on lithium fires?
Oh, good question.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah, and this is becoming a bigger problem because we're using lithium ion batteries in everything now. The biggest problems are the ones that are not UL or third-party tested, so the stuff that's coming out of China, so like the e-bikes and the e-scooters. Matter of fact, in New York City, it is illegal to charge an e-bike or an e-scooter in a multifamily residential occupancy because they have had so many fires and so many fire deaths that it's these untested, not to a standard built batteries that are really causing the problem. But then again, any lithium battery can cause a problem. So,
But I'm probably pretty confident that my Milwaukee tools and those batteries are pretty good.
Yes. Because those are UL or third-party tested. Sure. But if they do have damage, so the way these lithium-ion batteries are put together, there's a layer of lithium surrounded by a layer of something else and another layer of lithium. And what happens is when these batteries get damaged, then those two layers get in contact with each other. And lithium, being a combustible metal, it actually burns really hot and really fast. So you end up with this thermal runaway because it just keeps getting hotter and hotter and hotter. So one of the things as far as putting them out, they need a smaller battery. So they need a lot of water because they do produce a lot of heat. So I think one of the questions was a sprinkler system, if they can put it out. And I think it was Fort Wayne, Indiana, that just had a sprinkler save It was either an e-bike or an e-scooter that was stored in a storage closet, and it started on fire, and the sprinkler system did eventually put it out. But then again, that's just a smaller battery, but it's going to take a lot of water to put those fires out, because when those layers get in touch with each other, you really have to either really cool it down, or let's say in the fire triangle, you're going to take away the heat. In the fire tetrahedron, you're going to take away the chemical chain reaction. So there are some products out there that do inhibit the chemical chain reaction. And we are trying to make sure that we use those products. And so actually Fire Suppression Solutions is working on that right now. They've got a number of products that have proven to put out those fires, but they're not yet tested. So we're working on that with them. And actually, if you go to the Fire Safety Research Institute, or FSRI's website, so that is, I believe it's batteryfiresafety.org. Batteryfiresafety.org, and you will get a number of safety tips for those lithium ion batteries. So but the FSRI actually has the CHARGE acronym. So C is for Choose Certified Products, and I'm going to harp on that again and again. It has to be UL or third-party tested to make sure those products are certified, because they're built to a standard that is meant for safety. The H stands for Handle Lithium Ion Battery Devices with Care, because, again, if they get damaged and you end up with those two layers coming in contact with each other, you're going to get that thermal runaway. A is for always stay alert for warning signs. So that would be like swelling or punctures, hissing or popping sounds, excessive heat or a strange odor, or batteries that are smoking. R, recycle devices and batteries properly. So I haven't seen the numbers on this yet, but we were just talking about this last week at the fire station. And we have seen an increase in garbage truck fires. And at the West Bend transfer station, the West Bend transfer station where the garbage gets dumped off actually has like thermal cameras. It's actually kind of interesting. So they know what, they don't call us for every fire, but they can watch it happen. And a lot of these are from people who've thrown away the lithium ion batteries and didn't recycle them properly. So garbage trucks that catch on fire with their loads, they actually have to dump the whole load. And then the firefighters have to go through and put the fire out and then sort through to see what the cause was. And in a number of instances that I've seen, again, this is just anecdotal evidence, not anything that I've looked for actual statistics yet. But a lot of times you'll see it on the Facebook pages of all these fire departments, where we find a lithium ion battery that was the cause of that fire. Mm-hmm.
So they don't need to be in a charger or plugged in to cause a fire.
No.
You can just be sitting.
And like, let's say when we charge them, we want to not charge those lithium ion batteries when we're not able to be in view of those batteries. Because if you look at, again, going back to YouTube, there are a number of instances where, cameras that are in people's homes have caught those fires. And you see how hot and fast they do burn.
You say that though, but lifestyle just doesn't lend to that.
Yeah,
I've got all these power tools right in my shed, and my batteries are charging in my shed.
Yeah, I see them in workshops, garages, plugged in and charging and everything. But that's really actually not good for them, is it? To be constantly charging.
Right, and that's why you want to make sure as soon as they are done charging to take them off that charger.
Right. But you're right.
Lifestyle. I would say 99% of people aren't doing that.
Right.
I don't. Now I need
I do.
To. Yeah. Now I need to. Yeah. Like I said, every week on this show, I learn something I need to do when I go home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this is one of those.
Right. Yeah. And then.
Will a regular fire extinguisher put out a lithium battery fire?
I think in some instances, but not all instances. What happens is that powder, so the powder is called monoammonium phosphate. And again, we're talking about inhibiting that chemical chain reaction.
Yeah.
So if a fire extinguisher, if you put it on the fire itself, it has to get in that battery and between those layers. Mm-hmm. So if it doesn't quite get in those layers, then you're not going to put out that fire, because you're not going to inhibit that chemical chain reaction. And then we, with that Take Charge acronym, so G is get out quickly if there is a fire, because again, these are burning really hot, really fast. You don't have a lot of time to get out if these things start on fire. E is educate others on battery safety. So make sure to go to that batteryfiresafety.org website. The UL Fire Safety Research Institute has a great handout flyer for this thing, and you can talk about it. So when you're really bored at a party and you want to talk about fire safety, break out the Take Charge acronym and make sure to educate all your family and friends, you know, about battery fire safety.
All right.
Man, we got a lot of texts. We're going to try to get through these great questions coming in. We have Kenny from the National Fire Sprinkler Association on this hour. Thank you for listening to the Fix It Show on WTMJ.
We may not solve the world's problems, but maybe we can help solve some of your homes. It's the Fix It Show on WTMJ.
Dayton Kane, David Nason here. Thank you for joining us. We have Kenny from the National Fire Sprinkler Association on this hour. A lot of calls and texts coming in. We appreciate that, and we thank you for listening. Let's talk about the five most probable things that are causing fires in our area here.
Yeah, so statistically, according to the NFPA statistics, so firefighters, when they're filling out a report, it's called the NFIRS report, the National Fire Incident Reporting System, and that goes to the U.S. Fire Administration. NFPA sorts through those statistics and comes up with these kind of things that I can go out and tell people about. So our top five causes of fire in order are cooking, heating, electrical, smoking, and candles. So when we're talking about
candles being number one, or the cooking being number one?
Cooking being number one. Right. Yeah, cooking is number one. Gotcha. So cooking is the number one cause of house fires. Unattended cooking is the number one cause of cooking fires. So we always tell people, watch what you heat or keep an eye on what you fry. So, like, let's say for cooking, we want to make sure that we are keeping the stovetop clear, turning handles inward, and for grease fires, making sure we have a lid for the pan, a cooking sheet, a fire extinguisher, or baking soda. So a lot of these fires, Greenfield had a sprinkler save that started out as a grease fire because the person grabbed the pan off of the stove and threw it in the sink, started water, splashed the grease all over. Remember, grease and water do not mix. Yeah. So enough water will eventually put out a grease fire, as indicated in the sprinkler save, but you don't want to put water on that grease fire. I'm just going to repeat it all again because this happens way, way too many times. I can't tell you how many times the stuff comes across my desk and through my computer as far as grease fires. So again, you want to have a lid for that pan. You want to have a cookie sheet if you don't have a lid for the pan. Have a fire extinguisher available or baking soda. And then again, we'll talk about those fire blankets, whether or not they work or not. I have no reason to believe they don't. But again, I just have my reservations because I haven't tested it and I don't know if they are UL or third party tested.
Okay.
And then as we come into the heating season, so fires really pick up and fire deaths also pick up. So right now in Wisconsin, we're at 39 civilian home fire deaths for the year. That's going to pick up through the heating season again. So we're probably going to be upwards of 50 by the end of the year, just because of unfixed heating equipment or electrical equipment. So heating
fireplaces, does that have any play in that?
We want to make sure that our fireplaces and the chimneys are cleaned once a year. So actually, the week before Fire Prevention Week is actually National Chimney Safety Week.
Yeah, you should have a level 2 inspection where they run a camera up your chimney.
Yeah, exactly. So you want to make sure to have that chimney. It doesn't always have to be clean, but it should be inspected every year.
Right.
And so, between fireplace fires, just heating equipment in general. So, like, let's say we want to make sure if you have a portable heater, make sure it's plugged directly into its own outlet.
Not an extension cord.
Yeah, don't use an extension cord. Don't use a power strip. Power strips are only meant for small equipment like computers and that sort of stuff. Have a 3-foot clearance around the heat sources, and the space heater should be on a level surface. Number 3 is electrical. So again, plugging all of those major appliances into their own outlets, as well as small appliances. So any heat producing appliance, such as coffee makers, roasters, air fryers, microwave ovens, should be plugged directly into their own outlet. Not a splitter, not anything like that. It needs to be plugged directly into its own outlet.
Also, when your air fryer, if you read the directions, there's supposed to be a radius around it that's clear.
Exactly.
Like, don't leave everything stacked right next to it and use your air fryer.
Your roll of paper towels right there.
Right.
Yeah, and yeah. And it happens
underneath
more,
your wood cabinets.
Right, and it happens more often than that because we have done such a great job. So, like, let's say the building industry, the home inspectors, the firefighters and everything like that have done such a great job at educating the public and engineering out a lot of those dangers that people aren't thinking about it. So then all of these very preventable fires are because of stuff like this that we have to go out and remind people to not do these things.
Yeah.
And then smoking is number four. So we want to make sure to discard smoking materials in non-combustible containers. I can't tell you how many times we have gone. And again, luckily these are pretty small fires, but people like using a plastic Folgers can, even though it's got a little sand in it. We got to make sure that we're putting out that cigarette butt, before we're putting it in the plastic can.
The best part of waking up is cigarette butts.
Exactly,
isn't it?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and but the thing is, I think that in general, again, people do think that, hey, it's not going to happen to me. So we have to make sure that we're thinking about if you have something with heat and something that's combustible or flammable, to not put those two things together. And then smoking on home oxygen is a huge issue.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I didn't realize. So I didn't know how big of an issue this actually was because. So I've been in the fire service 36 years, and I have only had one. And I wasn't even on this fire. This was shortly after I got in the Fire Prevention Bureau in West Bend, and we had one. And the only reason we found out about it was a side by side condo, and the lady had a residential fire alarm system. It was like 3 a.m. Again, I give her props because she had a brandy old fashioned sitting right next to her. I'm hoping it was Corbell because that's the only
Wisconsin.
Way to go. Yeah. And sitting in her wheelchair, smoking, drops the cigarette on the extension tubing, starts on fire. She's trying to put it out with her feet. So she had burns, didn't have burns on her feet, but she had, black marks on her stockings. And she's lucky she didn't get hurt. She's lucky she didn't burn down her house. So we're actually working with, the International Association of Fire Chiefs, the International Association of Firefighters, the American Burn Association to really try to help promote, cessation of smoking while on home oxygen. And if you are on home oxygen and you will not give up your smoking, we do have some thermal fuses available. So these are made by BPR Medical and distributed by Sunset Healthcare. And they are distributing. What they do is they determine a change in pressure, and these things pop open and stop the flow of oxygen. Now, the tubing's still going to burn because it is still made of plastic, but it's not going to burn as intense because that oxygen isn't flowing.
Yeah. All right. We need to take a final break. When we come back, our last segment with Kenny from the National Fire Sprinkler Association. Thank you for listening to the Fix It Show on WTMJ.
Making it a great Fix-It day. It's the Fix-It Show on WTMJ.
Sponsored every week by Siding Unlimited and J&B Construction. Dayton Kane and David Nason here. Our last segment with Kenny Aslin from the National Fire Sprinkler Association. You're here because it is Carbon Monoxide Awareness Month. So what should we know about that?
Yeah, so November is National Carbon Monoxide Awareness Month. That's sponsored by the National Carbon Monoxide Awareness Association. So that's www.ncoaa.us. So carbon monoxide, normally when something burns, we want to make sure that we don't have carbon monoxide problems in our home, and we want to make sure we have carbon monoxide alarms in our home. I always recommend a plug-in model with a 10-year battery backup and a digital display. The reason I recommend the digital display is because carbon monoxide alarms don't activate until 70 parts per million, and that's to avoid nuisance alarms. But young children, small pets can still get sick at lower levels.
And you should have one on every level of the home.
Exactly. You want to have one on every level of the home. It doesn't really matter where it's plugged in because carbon monoxide is just slightly lighter than air, so it will disperse throughout the entire space.
Right. So Kenny, where do people get all of this information and find you? Because we have a lot of questions we didn't get answered today.
Yeah. So again, like the National Fire Protection Association, NFPA.org. You can go to the U.S. Fire Administration website. There's a lot of great resources there. Or if you want to tune in to the Fireman Kenny Show, I'm available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. I've only got about 9 listeners. So if you want to
might have way more now.
Yeah, I'm hoping to double that because again, like the Fireman Kenny show, so KMG 365, Fireman Kenny's on the air, helping you to stay safe in a world where danger never takes a vacation. So we want to make sure that I try to get out as many messages as possible. There's a lot of awareness campaigns throughout the year, so I try to make sure to cover all those campaigns throughout all the year.
Right. Awesome to have you on the show. Fast hour.
We needed another hour.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, we needed a whole nother hour.
And the biggest thing is hopefully there's some behavior changes and people listening and knowing that it can happen to you, so making sure that you are taking every chance you can to be safe in your home.
All right. Fox Thank World you. Travel Show's coming up next. Yep. We'll see you next week.
Weekend. Yep.
This has been the Fix-It Show on WTMJ, presented by J&B Construction and Siding Unlimited. Advice and opinions expressed during the program are solely that of the hosts or guests. At